chant a few shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chano Namardhanam Devaki Paramahandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum Aharastvapi Sarvasya Trividho Bhavati Priya Yajnastapastathadanam Tesham Vedamimam Shruno Ayusattva Balarogya Sukha Priti Vivardhana Rasya Snigdha Sthira Vidya Ahara Satvika Priya Katvamla Lavana Yukshna Tikshna Rusha Vidahina Ahara Rajasa Sista Dukha Sukha Maya Prada Yatayamam Gadarasam Puti Pariyushitam Chaya Uchishtam Apicha Medhyam Bhojanam Tamasa Priyam Afala Kamsha Viriyagno Vidhirishto Yajjate Yastavyame Veti Manaha Samadhaya Sasaplika Abhisandhaya Tupalam Dambhartham Apichaivayat Ijjate Bharata Sreshtha Tam Yajnam Vidhi Rajasam Vidhi Namasrishtanam Mantrahinam Adakshinam Shraddha Virahitam Yajnam Tamasam Parichakshate. So we are discussing the 17th chapter, which is called Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga. How we can estimate, infer a person's sincerity, whether it is sattvika, rajasika or tamasika. What is the purpose? Once we diagnose our condition, then we can try to improve, evolve, evolution. Our life is all about evolution. You know, we are all evolving from a small, tiny creature, one-celled creature. So we have evolved into this most marvelous, complex human being. And we are, biologically, we are not going to evolve any further. So this evolution, first biological, then moral evolution. That is the biggest problem we are facing in this world today. There is so much of conflict between human being and human being. Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone is taught to be happy. In fact, everyone is trained to be happy, only in the wrong direction. In this country, they give training. It's called self-assertion. Which is self?
The little self.
Little self means it is opposite to the bigger self. Which means what? Instead of being selfless, we are made to be selfish. So that is it. That is bringing all sorts of conflicts. And here also, some people do it cleverly. Some people do it directly. Some people do it indirectly. Democratic countries, they are doing every selfishness, encouraging selfishness in a indirect manner. Whereas countries like Russia, China, they are trying to do it directly. And we are criticizing them that the human right problem. What is human right problem? In these democratic countries, who has got more right? Criminals or ordinary people? Who has got more rights? These people, you know, right royal treatment. One fellow got 500,000 pounds in England. One criminal. because the police denied him TV. He went to court and the judge awarded him. You know, after hearing that, I felt, why did I not become a prisoner? Anyway, I am not going to watch TV, but I can get £500,000. Another fellow was suspected as terrorist in near our area, Highway. He got £500,000. Because the police were dogging him and taking his photographs and bugged his phone and all those things, he went to court. Promptly he was given £500,000. England, what a wonderful country. The point is this dharma, that is why Hinduism or any religion for that matter, what is the first thing they teach? What are the Chaturvidha Purusharatha according to Hinduism? The very first thing is dharma, righteousness. And without dharma, then there would be no peace in society. The whole Bhagavad Gita, how does it, what is the first word it starts with? Dharma. Dharma kshetre kurukshetre samaveta yuyutsava. What a beautiful verse. Where is this battle taking place? Dharma kshetra. Don't forget it. Dharma kshetra. What is Kurukshetra? It is a dharma kshetra. Means what? Is in a court of judgment. If the judge is absolutely a right type of judge, he will not listen to influence and other things. He will only judge according to the merits of the case. This is the law of karma. So, you cannot simply cheat the other person and not get the consequence. There are so many things which I will not go into. But the law of karma is functioning. Why is so many people are mentally suffering? Why? Physically, you know, there are so many technological inventions are there, air conditioner, these, that, so many things. But why are these very people, they should have been supremely happy, much happier than anybody else? What is lacking? Why are people so much mentally suffering? Adharma is the simple truth. So the next evolution should be dharma, that is morality. What is morality? Swami Vivekananda defines what is morality. So he gives more than two definitions. One definition he gives is dharma and adharma. How do we know? That action which takes us nearer to God is dharma. And that which takes us away from God, this is adharma. It's opposite. Simple. Are you going towards God? How do you know you are going towards God?
Goodness, wisdom, and peace.
You can definitely judge because goodness is something which can be experienced. How do you experience goodness? Because your mind becomes absolutely cheerful. Happiness, cheerfulness, all these things. And you become wise. What does it mean? Wisdom means what? Wisdom means intuitively we know what is right and what is not right. We have this ability. You know, when we are eating food, when the stomach had enough, how do you feel? Don't you intuitively feel that yes, I had enough? And if we follow the wisdom of the stomach, there would be much less problems. But the boss of the stomach is sitting above. Yeah. What is that?
Tongue.
And it says, you stupid fellow, you don't know what is good for you. I know what is good for you. Yeah? So this is the dharmic evolution. What is the third evolution?
Spiritual
evolution. And this is inevitably, this is what has to happen. That is, as a student, one learns about dharma. As a householder, practices dharma. And then the vanaprastha and sannyasashrama are meant to evolve spiritually. That is to say, from the morality field, one goes beyond morality. And that is what we have to practice. When does morality function? Where does it function? If there is nobody, does it come? The question comes whether I am moral or immoral. It comes only when there is someone else. Am I truthful or untruthful? When I am alone. The question doesn't come. Only when there is at least one person besides me, then that question will come. So, this chapter is dealing with this. If a person is tamasic, he is totally adharmic. If a person is rajasic, he becomes a mixture of dharma and adharma. And if the person is sattvic, he will go beyond the question of dharma. He will become a spiritual person. That is why sattva is always the indicator of the third stage of development. And that is when sannyasashrama. What is sannyasashrama? Spiritual evolution. Sannyasashrama always means, that is why sannyasi's duties are different. A sannyasi has no duties. That is why another name for sannyasashrama is Atyashrama. Atyashrama means he goes beyond all ashramas. He has no duties. But if he decides to render some service to the society, then he has two duties. What is that? Adhyayana and Adhyapana. That is, he learns the scriptures and also he teaches the scriptures. These are the only two duties of a sannyasi. He is not supposed to do anything else. In fact, he is also called Niragni. Niragni means he should not have fire to cook food. He is not supposed to cook food. That's why his Bhagavad Gita again, 6th chapter. He is a sannyasi, na niragnihi, na chakriyaha. Niragni means, there are people who do not cook. Chinese take away, Mexican take away, Indian take away, all this take away. That's not the idea. The idea is, it is for the others to maintain a monk. They will feed him. What does he do? He has only two duties. What is this? He must strive to attain spiritual progress. And that is why sannyasa is also divided into two categories. Vividisha sannyasa and vidvat sannyasa. Vividisha means one who is sincerely striving to realize God. He is also necessary. And in fact, nobody is born excepting like Swami Vivekananda or Sri Ramakrishna, like that. Vidvat sannyasi means one who has become perfect, but both of them, irrespective of whatever they are, both of them, they have no duties, but God uses their instrument to show the way to others. Especially in India, monks have played a tremendous role in keeping the Indian culture alive. There was this question once. Swami Vivekananda was traveling in North India. At that time, and Swamiji was lying in a railway carriage on a bench. And some people, so-called educated people, he saw him lying. And then they were passing by, thinking that he doesn't understand English language. Then he was listening very quietly. And they were criticizing, these monks are parasites. And they are only sponging on the society. And they don't do any good. And Swamiji, he couldn't tolerate it. Got up and then in chaste English language, he went on explaining to them, it's because of these monks that India has been able to keep its civilization. And he made once a remarkable statement. He said, this Advaita Vedanta, practiced by sannyasins, it saved India twice and again a third time. First time, it in the form of Buddha. Second time, in the form of Shankaracharya. Third time, in the form of Sri Ramakrishna and Swami Vivekananda. The Advaita Vedanta. That's what really saved India. How did it save? How did it save? You know, the whole Hinduism is geared only towards one aim. I have given in my introduction yesterday. What is the main teaching of Vedas? What is the goal of human life? To realize God or its own nature. And the Vedas have found out what is its nature. And for that I give in the introduction that if the effect is nothing but manifestation of the cause in time. So the material cause, I gave that example. So if it is true that our nature is divine, then our evolution is only towards manifestation of divinity, whether we are willing or non-willing. In that evolution, these three steps come. Biological evolution, moral evolution, and spiritual evolution. So that is one way of putting things. What is the other way? Our evolution will be from tamas to rajas and rajas to sattva-guna. In fact, I won't go into this subject because it's a wonderful subject by itself. Arnold Toynbee, he studied civilizations and he wrote a very scholarly volumes of books, The Study of History. And therein, his main conclusion is, civilizations are born when people confront problems with spiritual outlook. And the moment they lose that spiritual outlook, that civilization itself falls down. And it is proved, absolutely, because he is not through his hat. He is talking by studying the events that happened in history. All these world wars and other things. Why did they take place? Pure man's, you know, selfishness, unspirituality. And that's what is happening on the not only national level, but also on the individual level. If we are not spiritual, at least we should be moral. The law of karma applies only in the field of biology as well as morality. The law of karma has no relevance in spiritual field. Its purpose is to take human being to the second level of evolution, which is moral evolution. Means make the body and mind perfect instruments for the spiritual evolution. After that, it is like a rocket taking off. The good analogy is like, you know, the three-stage rocket. Yeah. It's an evolution. First the rocket is fired. Then after some taking it to some height, the first one falls up. Then the second one falls up at some. And then the third one takes up. This is how spiritual life can also be understood by us. And as I also mentioned, why should we be spiritual? We are very the need. I can be non-spiritual. It is like putting the question in a different way. I can also be unhappy. Can anybody say that I have a right to be unhappy? Nobody can answer that question. We, by nature, we want to live. By nature, we want to be happy. This is our nature. You can't go out of it. Nobody willingly ever desires unhappiness. He may do things which bring unhappiness, but that's because of ignorance. But nobody desires unhappiness. So, in this chapter, you observe. It is not for observing other people. This is not for judging other people. Oh, that fellow, I saw what he is eating. I saw what he is doing. He is a tamasic fellow. No. It is for observing ourselves to find out where we are and to advance ourselves. So this is what he is telling. Now we have discussed certain points. What were the points we discussed in the morning? First, there are people who choose the whom to worship. And we also have got one example that comes to my mind is, you enter into any young man's or woman's room, there would be pin-ups. What does that indicate? Their admiration, you know? If, like Marilyn Monroe, make that person as your ideal, you will also end up like that only. That people don't want, you know, to see that. So if it is a young man, you will see some baseball or basketball or football or rugby or whatever it is. Sri Ramakrishna makes a remarkable statement. A devotee, if you go to a Rajasic fellow, you will see the hall is decorated with, you know, the kings and the queens, photographs and beautifully framed. But if you go to a devotee's house, you will see that, yeah, there was a very interesting conversation. Ramakrishna goes to some Brahma devotee's house because that house has all these beautiful things. And then he says, but where is some gods or goddesses photographs? And hearing Sri Ramakrishna's remark, that was, no, no, we have got that also, but somewhere inside. He is ashamed to exhibit it. Maybe in a small this thing like that, you know. And then you have to search with a telescope that God is. This shows, you go enter into anybody's room, find out what type of books he is having. You will find out what type of nature, you know, if they are full of gardening books. And the Gospel of Ramakrishna is sitting behind somebody. What does that indicate? He is interested in gardening. Cookery books. Like that, people have a different samskaras are there. No, no, you can be a gardener. There is nothing wrong in it. The thing is, how much interest you have? Is it an overwhelming passion? So this is how it is to, these are all indications. So whom we worship. And that also indicates to us, we said, what, with what desires. See, you don't go to a football player to learn music. If you want to learn music, you must go. So, if you are worshipping a football player, what is your desire? To be a football player. But if you have put some wonderful Tom Sain or some great musician's picture, what does that indicate? I want to become a good musician like that, is it not? So, when we observe some people worshipping, whom they worship, if we know, we also can reasonably infer what are their desires. This is what we have understood. Then, there are people who perform austerities. What type of austerity? Not approved by the scriptures. It is terrible. Self-torturing. You know, so many people, in the name of religion, they put hooks to their backs, etc. and pull heavy chariots, etc. And in the name of religion, some people walk on fire. Yeah, one South Indian person is there. And he sits and in the midst of fire. and performs. Nothing happens to his body. When somebody, it is video, it is available. And if you ask that person, and how is it, how come that even little bit of that heat, it will scorch you? He says, I have some kind of power, and then that will not make my body, just as though nothing is happening. This phenomenon was observed by Swamiji. Some fire walkers, there was an axe, which was, red hot burning. Swamiji thought it was all fake something. So he gingerly touched a little bit. And then for 3 days, he was hopping with pain. Then he understood. There is something, some power is there, which works in this world. So we have become skeptics. Yeah. So, ashastra vihitam ghoram, tapyante tapojana, dambha ahankara sanyukta, kamaraga balamita. This also we discuss. Then the 6th shloka is telling, karshayanta sharirastam, bhutagramam achetasaha, mamchaiva anta sharirastam, tanvidhi asura nischaya. Senseless, torturing all the elements in the body, and me also, who dwells in the body, know thou these to be of demoniacal resolves. There are people. Yes, you perform austerity, but do not torture the body. Why? Because it is not your body. This body is not mine. We have rented it. God has lent it to us. So if you have rented a house, and when you have time comes to hand over to the owner, how will you hand over? You know, you have to be very careful. How is, as he has given you, the same way. That is why this body has to be respected. You use the body, but do not misuse the body. Body has to be worshipped. Body has got its own value. It is our only instrument. If you torture your body, who suffers? Yeah, if you break your leg out of anger, who suffers? This body has to be worshipped, but not in the sense, demonical sense. That is, then you indulge in all sorts of sense pleasures. That is not what is. It's what is happening, drinking drugs and also overeating, all those things if we do, so who is the sufferer? Not only physically, we also suffer mentally, spiritually, in every way we suffer. This is what the Lord is telling. Who is sitting in the Lord, in the body? This idea is so beautifully brought out. Puri, Jagannath, Rathotsava. Have you heard about it? One day in a year, a huge festival is done, and the chariot. What is the symbolism of this? Everything is symbolic. Ratheca vamanam drishtva punarjanma navidyate. So one who sees the Lord sitting in the chariot, such a person, when he sees the Divine Lord, then he need not have rebirth again. That means he becomes liberated from this samsara sagara, this ephemeral existence, maya. So to indicate that, they pull the chariot. In fact, in every South Indian temples, if you go to Venkateshwara, Rathotsava, Brahmotsava, Teppotsava, all these Utsavas are there. The idea is to see the God who is within. So when we see Sri Ramakrishna, we are worshipping Sri Ramakrishna. What do we see? The body. But is this body Sri Ramakrishna? That body is gone. It is burnt to ashes. That is an interesting thing. Even history gives us very interesting stories. Christians, Muslims, they don't cremate the body. It is an ancient custom where they think that it has a double. If this body is damaged, then that double also is damaged, like Egyptian mummies. Yeah. That is why he said the Christian, that crude old teaching, you know, is that fellow will be waiting and for the judgment day. And then he will be called up. He will have all his, and this nowadays nobody believes, you know, that body is very soon, it turns into its own elements, decomposed and all that. But the Hindu's idea is cremate. Because this body, once it is gone, it is finished. That purpose is finished. So you don't need, you will get a new body. That's why it is vasamsi jirnani yathavihai navani grihnati naruparam. Like worn out dress, you throw it away and then new dress you take. Every time new body. Like we are like Bhutanese people, you know. Only once, when they change their dress only once in a year. They tie, you know, very the skin, etc., they will stitch. So only once in a year they take bath on a summer day. And that day they again stitch a new dress. And that will go on for 1 year. Because it is so cold. If you are there, you will also become there. So this dress is stitched for whole life. Yeah, we have given only one chance, good or bad, accept it. You better accept it. You are not going to get a new dress and use it. Yeah, and you bought it yourself with your karma. Yeah, this body is a wonderful instrument for us to be used in our travel. A ratha is used for what purpose? A chariot is used for what purpose? For traveling. So, where is the destination? It is only evolution. It is a travel. That is why we are called pilgrims. We are all sojourners on earth. Nobody is permanent here. So, our houses are called dharmashalas. Sometimes adharmashalas only. Most of the time adharmashalas only. But they are meant, dharmashala means what? Pilgrim inns. Stay there for a few days and then go. So the Lord is giving the idea, do not torture the body. Just use it properly. But what will these demonic people do? Karshayanta sharirastham. Bhutagramam achetasaha. These senseless people, they go on torturing this body, and while torturing the body, what are they doing? They are also torturing me, who is within this body. And so it has to be avoided. Why is this shloka coming? It has to be avoided. Use the body in a proper purpose. That is why it is said, whether you want to acquire dharma, or artha, or kama, or bhoga, or moksha. What is the prop? This body. Yeah. That is why it is said, you know, either for bhoga or moksha, this body is the only instrument. For dharma, or bhoga, or moksha, this body is the only instrument. Use it. Enjoy life. But at the same time, how to enjoy life? There is a senseless way of enjoying life. That is to say, you don't remember God. You are not grateful to God. And you just think you can do whatever you like. No, that is not the way to do it. Offer everything to God. This body itself is an offering of God. And whenever you eat, offer it to God. Whenever you dress, offer it to God. Whatever you do, offer it to God. That is where you enjoy it. Then, he says, how do we know who is a sattvika person, who is a rajasika person, and who is a tamasika person? So by observe what type of food a person takes. So, this shloka is telling us, 7th shloka, 7th. Aharasvapi sarvasya trivido bhavati priyaha. There are three types of aharas, food. And these become very dear to different people. By observing that, we can understand who is Sattvika, who is it. And also, Yajnaha, Tapaha, Tatha, Dana. Yajna means sacrifice, special type of pujas. Tapaha means austerity. We have a peculiar idea about austerity. Well, we will discuss it when it comes. Dana means charity, helping other people, serving other people. All these fall under the category dana. Tesham vedam imam shunu. Learn from me. What is the difference between these two? What is the difference? Not between ahara, yajna, and tapa and dana. Difference between sattvika ahara, rajasika ahara. Similarly, sattvika yajna, rajasika yajna, tamasika yajna. Similarly, sattvika austerity and rajasika austerity and tamasika austerity. Similarly, sattvika charity, rajasika charity and as well as tamasika charity. First, he enumerates his sattvika food. What is the characteristic of sattvika food? Ayuh sattva bala rogya sukha priti vivartana rasya snigdha sthira vidya ahara sattvika priya. Those kinds of food are loved very much by sattvika people. What type of foods? First of all, it is ayuhu sattva bala arogya sukha priti vivartana. Ayuhu means longevity. Sattva means the, what is called, the capacity to bear. Sattva. Then bala. Bala means strength. You know, it is said in Indian, bullock has tremendous tenacity. Some people have strength, but they have no the capacity to endure. Very quickly they run out. So the example given is, you know, this leopard, a cheetah. So fast it can run. But how long? Very, very short time. But there are animals like wild dogs. For hours and hours and hours they can run. The word is stamina. Strength and stamina. So here sattva means stamina. Bala means strength. Yeah. And then sukha means it gives happiness. Preeti. What is the difference between sukha and preeti? Sukha means when you eat something, it doesn't produce adverse reaction. You know, burning the tongue, etc. It is very, very pleasing to for the body. But preeti means the mind is pleased. After eating, you feel well. You feel well. That is the idea. Sukha, preeti, vivartana. That which conduce to the growth of is longevity, strength, stamina, then feeling of well-being and also mental happiness. And then the foods also, this is the mental reactions for the foods. This is what should happen. Rasyaha, they must be full of juices, not dry, full of juices. Snigdha. Snigdha means, this is very pleasing, you know, by just looking at it, it doesn't feel well. But very snigdha. Sthiraha. It's absolutely, if they stay for a long time without getting spoiled. Hridyaha. This is the moment you see, your heart is attracted to that. So, that kind of foods, wherever you see, they are beloved of whom? Sattvika people. And so, if you give this to a Rajasic, sattvika food, to a Rajasika person, he simply says bland. It is only saints' food. Yeah, that is why if you go to heaven, saints go to heaven, boiled vegetables. So all these qualities, ayu, sattva, bala, arogya, sukha, priti, vidya, all these boiled vegetables. But Rajasika people would never love them. Tamasika people, they won't even look at them. Yeah. So by this we recognize, if anybody loves this kind of food, that means he is a sattvika person. Then what about Rajasika? You see, katu, amla, lavana, ati ushna, tikshna, ruksha, vidahina. Top to bottom, fire is coming out. Katu means very bitter, bitter. Amla, very sour. Ati ushna, lavana. Lavana means too much of, too salty. Ati ushna. Ushna means there are two types of heat. One is thermal heat. Another is
spicy
heat. Yeah, then no, very hot, hot food. That is not what is meant here. Ati ushna. It's very spicy food. Tikshna. Very sharp. Everything must be very sharp. Ruksha. It must make an impact. Must be jumping up and down. This is the effect. Vidahina, dahana. They burn. Even that is why so much of this, you know, what is that? Acidity is produced after some time. So, but there are people who love this. If you give sattvika food, they don't like it. So, I am not saying we should not eat, but it is all right. But sattvika food is mostly preferred for us. Aharaha, such kind of foods are rajasasya ishtaha. What do they produce? Earlier, what did we say? They are conducive to health and stamina and strength and all that. Here, what is dukkha, shoka, amaya, prada? They only bring in grief. Dukkha means, shoka means mental. Dukkha means physical, you know, acidity, etc. And amaya means they are conducive to further diseases, disease-producing foods. Because they will come in the future, if not after some time, they will be coming. When we see people loving this kind of food, then we know they are Rajasika people. What about the Tamasika people? Yatayamam gatarasam puti pariyushitam chayat uchishtam apisha amedhyam bhojanam tamasatvi. Such kind of food which is yatayama means long, it is very old food. Yama means, you know, day is divided into 8 quarters. Every 3 hours is considered as a yama. Yeah, that is why the ragas in music, they are according to yama, prathama yama, dvitiya yama, tritiya yama, etc. So yama means yata yama. This is a long past, it was cooked long back. Gatarasam, that means it has become completely dry. There is no rasa at all. Puti means it starts decomposing. Bad smell starts coming. Pariyushitam, it looks absolutely horrendous. Uchishtam means maybe some dogs have come and eaten a little bit. or cats have come and tasted it a little bit, like that. Uchchishta means?
What about is, humans?
Huh? This is what's called. Anybody, other people, that is why it is said, such food should not be offered to anybody, let alone to gods. Once you taste them, you cannot offer it to anybody. Uchchishta means that which is tasted by other people, which is made impure. That's why Sri Ramakrishna, let alone eaten by others, even if somebody smells. There was an incident. Once what happened, Ram Babu, he was bringing some jalebi. On the way, one boy, poor boy, he saw this and he begged, "Give me." Out of compassion, he has given him. And he brought it to Sri Ramakrishna. That day, Sri Ramakrishna could not touch it. Because you can't offer such things to gods. Then what will you do if you encounter, say, a child? This happened in Holy Mother's life. She 7 days she sat down for puja. Then she had the offerings and other things. I think Radhu's son or Maku's son, somebody, entered into the shrine room. And his eyes straight. There is an example of one-pointedness of mind. We wish we had that kind of one-pointedness of mind towards God. Because that child, once he saw that, absolutely he has no thought for anything else. He was just making beeline, what we call. Holy Mother saw it. And she was telling, "Baba, wait a little, let me finish puja." And how does the child understand? So Holy Mother immediately said, "My Gopala, come, I will feed you." So because she immediately made that this is my Gopala. So then that food has been offered only to God. So that way, that the food has not become uchchishta at all. So these are examples to show. Once Swami, after speak of other people, Swami Brahmanandaji, Rakal Maharaj, he smelt something which was Sri Ramakrishna could not touch it later on. Then he scolded him. How could you make it impure? It has to be offered to God. Why did he get annoyed? Because he knew, Sri Ramakrishna knew he was God. So if he had to take something, he can't take it. That which has been polluted by others. You know, these are the things he won't say, "I am Mother Kali." So many instances are there. When Sri Ramakrishna was doing tapasya, puja, in his first sadhana life, and he used to, "Mother, you want me to eat first?" And then he ate, and then offered it to Mother. So, in which way he was considering himself? When he ate food, what was his feeling towards himself? He was God. He was the Divine Mother. That's why sometimes flowers, he said, "I took the flowers to offer to the Mother." And automatically, the flowers went to his head. Something very interesting, you know. Once the Swami Vivekananda said, "I will worship Sri Ramakrishna." And that was a curiosity for everybody. Because he never did such things. So they all gathered in the shrine room. And Swamiji asked them. Puja material was prepared in a big plate. Flowers and the white and red sandal paste. And some other things were prepared. And they were all waiting to see what will Swami Vivekananda say. He said, "First let us meditate." And Swamiji himself went into meditation. They all went into meditation because of his power. And suddenly, what was Swamiji doing? They found out somebody was moving among them. And they opened their eyes. What did they see? Swami Vivekananda mixed all the flowers with sandal paste. And he was going to each one of the brother disciples, his own disciples. He was taking a handful of flowers and putting on their heads. And after finishing all this, whatever remained, he went and offered to Sri Ramakrishna. So now tell me, and whom was he worshipping? He was only worshipping Sri Ramakrishna. But he was seeing Sri Ramakrishna in every one of them. Such great souls, they can do that. In fact, they always do that. This is not the only occasion when they were seeing Sri Ramakrishna. This is a demonstration. But 24 hours, what were they doing? Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastin Shunichaiva Shrapakecha Panditaha Samadarshinaha. Samadarshi means they see only? Yeah. Prabhu Mere Avaguna Chitanatharo Samadarshi Hai Namatiharo. Every saint is a Samadarshi. Means he sees only God in everybody. Holy Mother. What is he looking at in her devotees? Only God. That's why she was called Holy Mother. Why was she called Holy Mother?
She is
divinity in everyone. She is seeing holiness in everybody. That is why. And we also feel when we go, we are holy. Nobody ever felt that we are unholy. Everybody felt we are, whoever went to Holy Mother, they felt they were holy only. By the grace of Holy Mother. That is why she was called Holy Mother. She had no differentiation at all between one person and the other person. And that is possible only on one level. What is that level? If you see God, then there is no differentiation. If you don't see God, there is all the differentiation. You can't but see the differentiation. That is the idea. So, uchistam, amedhyam. Amedhyam, medhyam means that which is fit to be offered to God or used to be used in puja. That is called medhya. Amedhya means that which is unfit to be offered to God. So, this kind of foods are most dear to whom? Tamasa priyam. So, if we see any persons doing like this, we can guess more or less that he is a tamasika person. But you see, we never get somebody is eating only pure sattvika food, somebody is eating only pure rajasika food, somebody is eating only pure tamasika food. We don't get. Usually it is a combination. But predominantly, most of the time, some people prefer certain types of foods. In fact, when we eat, you know, here is something very spicy food. And we also have payasam. What is payasam falls under which category? Sattvika food. Yeah. Hmm? What?
Sorry, it will be sweet and too much sweet in nature.
No, no. That is not, too much sweet is not good. You are not supposed to, you know. No, no. It is anything made out of milk preparations. It is very pure food. A little bit sugar you can add it. That's not the problem. Problem is not food. Problem is the eater. How much if you are not supposed to take 2 kilos of food? I remember a funny story, you know. Swami Trigunathitananda. He could really eat. So once he was severely sick. He was burning with fever. Swami Vivekananda felt pity. He visited him. He was groaning with weakness. So he said, Kire, did you cage lenaki? Oje, I am suffering from fever. I could not eat much. Only a little bit I ate. And what did you eat? Swami was very anxious. He said, I have about 2 kilos of condensed milk. Swami could not hold his laughter. This fellow says he is sick and he has eaten only little bit of 2 kg of condensed milk. He says only little bit I have eaten. So if he is not sick, how much he could take? He could really eat. You know, once he was going with one brahmachari.
Yes.
You know the story?
Yes.
Trigunatitanandaji, once he was took a small brahmachari and they were going towards Jayarambati Kamarpuku. They had to walk in those days, you know. So on the way they had to take food in a hotel, restaurant. So they went to a restaurant. And the Swami asked, how much is the cost of the meals? He said, 1 rupee per meal. Then they said, in those days you must remember, 1 rupee means is a lot. And Swami told, he said, but this brahmachari is like this. So he can't eat more than 4 annas or 2 annas worth of food. The hotel manager said, that is not my concern. Whether you eat this or this much, it is 1 rupee. But Trigunatha said, I will teach him a lesson. Then you see, they brought so much of food. He finished. Bring some. He ate again. 4 or 5 times. Whatever they prepared was exhausted. 4 or 5 times they had to cook. And still he was still bring. Then the owner came and said, this time you don't need to pay. In future, please don't ever. He had that capacity to eat. He also had the capacity to fast for 15 days. Yeah, that is Swami, that Swami. So, Trigunatitanandaji died in San Francisco. And his own disciple threw bomb when he was giving the talk. Now, on festival days, the Swami will fast. For 24 hours from early morning, he is sitting. He will not move from the seat for until next morning. No eating, no going to toilet, nothing. He had that capacity. Yeah. Anyway, what is the point we are discussing here? Why these mentions? If we want to be sattvic, then what should we do? We should cultivate a taste for sattvika food. If we go on eating rajasika food, we become rajasika. And if we go on eating sattvika food, we become sattvika. This is only one regard. Food is one. There are also other things. So he is going to mention these things. Then yajna. You know, in the olden days, yajnas, yagas, all these things, very common things. Also, Hindus must know this pratima aradhana. Pratika aradhana was there, not pratima aradhana. Pratima. Pratima means image. Image worship was not there at Vedic times. Only pratika aradhana. Pratika means symbols. The sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains. These are the pratikas whom they use to use in worship. Now, yajnas, you know, they lit some firewood and then they used to offer especially clarified butter. And that is why it is considered to be so holy also. Yeah. So, those yajnas they used to do, whether they have spiritual desire, whether they have got some earthly desires, to fulfill their desires, to please certain gods, they use it to perform this kind of yajnas. Now, how do they do these yajnas? How do we do our pujas, modern pujas? With what attitude? How do we do it? That is being by observing this, we can also infer whether somebody is sattvic, rajasic or tamasic, etc. This again is an indication how we should also perform the pujas, etc. So let us see. Sattvika yajna. How do they do? Afala kamshibhi yajna. Vidhidrishto ya ijyate. Yastavya meva iti manaha samadhaya. Saha sattvikaha. That sacrifice which is offered by men without desire for reward, but as enjoined by the scriptures, with a firm faith that to do so is a duty. Such type of performance of yajna is considered as sattvika, worship. Instead of saying yajna, we can use the word puja. What type of puja? It first of all, it has to be done. So I am not doing the puja for the sake of any result. It has to be done. It is a duty. It has to be done. So I do it. Aphala kamshibihi, not desiring any particular result. And according to the directions of the scriptures. Everything should be there. Scriptures give us, first you do this, second you do this, these are the items necessary, etc. So do that. Aphala kamshibihi, vidhi drishta, means vidhi adesha, vidhi nirdesha. Vidhi means scripture. Scripture gives you direction. This is how, with these ingredients, you will have to do. Vidhi drishtaha ya ijyate, that which is. And then, yashtavyam eva. You will have to do it. You are not doing any mufat good to God. This is your duty, because God has already been endowing you with all the things. He gave you the body, He gave you family, parents, He gave you all the ingredients necessary for being healthy and wealthy and mentally healthy, etc. So you are only showing your gratefulness to God. In Vedic times, yajnas are done for two reasons. One reason is to get one's desires fulfilled. The other is to show our gratitude towards God. I'll give one example. Whenever we do puja, we do arati. And usually when we do arati, we do with five items. Special worship. What are those five items? First, light. Next, water. After that, cloth. After that, flower. After that, chama. Five items. What is the symbolism? These five items represent five elements out of which this whole universe is made. Obviously, we are also made. What are those elements? Space, air, fire, water, and earth. Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Jala, and Prithvi. So, these five items, now you equate, is homework for you. Which item represents which element is for you? Some are very easy, like Shakespeare's works. The others are a bit trickier. It's a homework. I have discussed all this thing many times. So, what are we doing? At the end of the puja, if we have done the puja properly, we understood that it is God who has been supplying us all these things. I am only grateful. So these are to show our gratefulness. Everything belongs to you. Nothing belongs to me. So I have nothing to do. I have nothing to offer because I don't have.
It's not mine.
It is all yours. So how can I offer? Even I belong to you. So how can I offer anything mine? But I am grateful to you. That is the idea. I also remember once there was a famine and some brahmacharis were being sent from Belur Math to do this relief work. And Swami Sharadananda was the general secretary. So these brahmacharis went to take his blessings before going for relief work. And they asked him, Maharaj, how should we do our service? How should we do our job? Then he told, you see, to do relief work, they are carrying money and some food materials, some cloths, etc., to be distributed among the famine-stricken people. Then he told, these things you are going to distribute to them, but they don't belong to you. These are all given by whom? By other people. you know, rich people. Some people have contributed these things. And you are just going to distribute them, give them to the needy people. Some people who have excess, they have given you. And the people who need them, you are going to give them. What is your greatness then? You can't take bread. I am giving. Because these are all given by somebody. You are only an instrument. But you should have that gratitude. Lord, you have given me this opportunity. You have chosen me as the instrument for giving your things to yourself. If you have this attitude, then your devotion, dispassion, etc. will increase. And this is what is called karma yoga. What is karma yoga? To think that everything belongs to God only. But in our day-to-day life, that you take something belonging to God and give to, again, God in the form of God to some other people who need it. This is the idea of trusteeship also. Swami Vivekananda used to say, if you have money, don't think it is your money. You are only a trustee. Yeah. So, afala kamshivihi yajnaha vididrishto ya ijyate yastavyam eva iti manaha samadhaya. Having understood thoroughly that I have, this is my duty to do this worship. And I don't need any result because God has already given me the result. And do it in the proper way, in the right way. And the people who perform yajna or puja in this way, they are called sattvika people. What does it mean? When you do puja, you should also do like that. Then, what do the rajasika people, how do they do it? Here is, avisandhayatu phalam. First thing is, what do I get from this? I desire this. If I get this, I will do. Otherwise, no. Dambhartham api, sometimes they don't need me. But dambhartham. You see, if you, that fellow, he performed his daughter's marriage. How much did he spend? $10,000. Oh, that much money. I am going to show him that I am going to spend $20,000. Dambhartha. You know, he wants competition. This is what is happening in Ramakrishna Mission also. Oh, that's Center Swami. And he constructed, he spent 2 crores of rupees for temple. Now I will spend 4 crores of rupees. I will construct, you know, my temple will have a golden gilded, Gopuram will be there. And I will get pure sandalwood doors and windows and all those things. You know, this is what happens. Yeah. And that Swami invited only 250 sadhus. And I will invite 500 sadhus. And he only gave dakshina for every sadhu, 1000 rupees. I will give 5000 rupees. And sadhus also. Last time we went for the temple opening ceremony, we got only 1000 rupees. But this temple opening, we got 5000 rupees. This is happening. Everywhere it's happening. This is by competition. What is this stupidity? This, whose money is that? It is Thakur's money. Do you need, really? And after all this marriage is over, who is maintaining? This is a temple construction is like a getting married. Yeah, everybody comes and congratulates you. And says wonderful, nice, and then gives some present and goes there. Afterwards, who is going to wash all these utensils? Yeah, mother-in-law, no? So she welcomes the daughter-in-law. Come, come, I have been waiting for the last 3 days. All the wedding utensils, you know, waiting to be scrubbed. You know, you stupid human beings. So these Rajasika people, when they perform, what do they do? First thing is Abhisandhayetu phalam. First they fix what result they are going to get. Then Dambhartham. Also they want to show that my puja is better than your puja. Then Ijyate Bharata Sreshta. When you see this kind of things, Tam Yajnam Rajasam Vidhi. No, recognize that type of yajna as a Rajasika yajna. What about Tamasika yajna? Vidhi nam. He never follows any scriptures. Asrishtanam. There will be no donation of food. He won't feed anybody. He wants all the result. Like Sri Ramakrishna's cow, Brahmin's cow. It should eat the least and it must yield milk in torrents. Yeah. Asrishtana means he is not prepared to feed anybody, either the poor or the deserving. Mantrahina, proper mantra, because he won't give the pujari any money. Pujari also, he will utter first word and Adakshina means Adakshina means no Dakshina. You won't give any Dakshina. Yeah, in Bengal they have invented a special towel. It is called Pujari Pujari. You like mosquito curtain. The threads will be like mosquito cutters, specially manufactured for Dakshina. Adakshinam. Shraddha virahitam. There is no sincerity or faith at all. That kind of worship is called Tamasam Parichakshate. When we see this kind of puja, we know that fellow is a Tamasika. So this is an indication again, not to criticize somebody. It is to indicate that if you have got some desire while worshipping, that means you are a Parichakshate person. And if you have got Dambha, why are you doing worship? Do you want others to take notice of you, to praise you? Then you are a Rajasika person. It's called Dambha. Is your ego increasing? Outside, humble. But inside, oh my God, what a puja I have done. Yeah, this puja is nothing. Okay, it is all okay. But nothing compared to my puja. Like that inside he is feeling himself. Whereas a Sattvika person, he doesn't say, so Lord, you have given me enough, I don't want anything. And he does everything according to the scriptures direction, scriptural direction. And he is so much of Shraddha. So when Thakur used to do puja, everything meticulously. And that is where he entered into the stage of Raga Bhakti. When Raga Bhakti comes, rituals follow. And then he doesn't need to do which comes first, which comes next. Sri Ramakrishna's life is a very, very interesting study. When he was doing puja, within a few days, he had gone through all these stages, as though he was like a rocket. Then, what happened? You know, there is a step-by-step procedure. First to give water, then give some argya, and then you give some water, then for snaniya, for bathing, etc. Then last you feed. Now, for every of this thing is a mantra. You utter the mantra, and then the divine mother is a divine being is supposed to, and then accept that. But even before Sri Ramakrishna said, this food I am offering, Divine Mother was sitting there and gop gop kore kachi. Sri Ramakrishna said, no, wait, I have not uttered the mantra. That means so much of bhakti. too much of devotion. That's why Madhurbabu came and saw. He said, this man's bhakti, it has gone beyond all scriptural restrictions. He doesn't need all those things. And he went and reported to Rani Rasman. Very soon, the Divine Mother is going to be awakened in the temple. It's our great good fortune that we could get such a great pujari. But Mother also was gracious to Madhurbabu, gave him that insight. Otherwise, he would have thought this madcap. He was behaving like a madcap. You can't recognize people, you know. Very difficult. Because outside it looks as though he was acting against the scriptures. But actually he has gone beyond the scripture and far beyond. Mistrai gunye pati vicharata. Ko vidhihi ko nishetata. A person when he goes beyond the three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. Ko vidhihi, who is to tell him do this like this? Ko nishetaha, who is to say that you should not? Intuitively the whole thing comes like that. I will just conclude today's talk with this observation. You know, when Sri Ramakrishna was practicing sadhana, spiritual sadhana, peculiar type of intuitive practices came, which you never hear anywhere else. For example, is that you take this, some coins, and you take this some clay, and then you go, he is good, taka mati, mati taka mati, mati taka. Manno, bangaro, bangaro, manno, manno, bangaro, manno, bangaro. So he used to utter a few times, then throw both of them. What is the idea? That when the time comes, prana prayana samaye, kapha vata pittahi, kanthava rodhana vidhav. Taka, what is it going to do? It's not going to come to your aid. You know, even if you've got stomachache, taka will not come to your aid. Yeah. One fellow, you know, very interesting case. He took a swami for a pilgrimage. He was bearing all the expenses. He went to Dhuma. And somewhere in the Himalayas, they entered into a restaurant. And that man's stomach got spoiled. But the Swami's stomach was extremely good. So they ordered nice food. This rajma and all those things. And then this man could not eat. Swami said, no problem, I will take. And this man was later on muttering, I paid the money and the Swami is eating. What will you do? If your stomach is gone, even if you are a billionaire, what will you do? You can't enjoy anything. It won't come to your aid. And if you are worried, what will your money do? Oh, I got so much money. Will the worry go? So the only difference is you will be worrying in a air conditioned room. air conditioning.
Air
conditioning. That's why Ramayana Mahabharata, excellent scriptures. What a wonderful, you know, description. Kaikeyi got angry. First she carefully removed all her ornaments, locked them up very securely, and entered his and separate room. Kopagriha. One room for your anger. Have you ever heard of this? Yeah, because whenever you get angry, enter into it. Why? Because people have to know you are angry. How will they know you are angry? So when they see you in that room, they know that you are angry. But when you are not in that room, they know you are all right. You know what a categorical rooms classified.
That's why they had so many rooms.
Yeah, only kings and princesses used to have, not ordinary man. It is what is called all utility room. Yeah. But the interesting thing is, you know, is these people, this what happens if you develop these negative feelings in the same room, then they can influence you. That is why Swamiji used to say, and always you, when you enter into the shrine room, always enter with a cheerful mind. Never enter with a disturbed mind. So that if any time after some time, if you have a disturbed mind, then if you enter into that room, the vibrations that are built up in that room, they will make you also bring you back to the normal sense. So the idea here is, whether it is puja or dana or everything, everything is a gift of God. The whole world is a gift of God. He has given us. And He has given, this is the greatest gift. A mind which can understand is the greatest gift. That is the speciality of human being. What is the difference between human being and animal? Animals have got intelligence, but they don't have discriminating power. Not this discriminating power, you know, where to get good food, how to get food. That discrimination is there. That's not what is meant here. Is it? What is dharma and what is adharma? That viveka buddhi. Otherwise, ahara nidra bhayamaitarancha samanametat pashubhir narana. Eating, sleeping, fearing and progenerating, all these are common things. The animal lakshanas. What is the speciality of human being? See, he is endowed with a special quality. It is called viveka. What is viveka? The discrimination not between other things. Dharma and adharma. And this nitya and anitya comes much later. That is only in spiritual life. We are talking about ordinary human beings. What is right? What is not right? That's a special intelligence. That is the speciality of a human being. So, the whole thing, when that intelligence is used, what does he say? Everything is a gift of God. The whole universe is a creation of God. And he has given you this opportunity. And you also have to think, oh Lord, whatever you give me, that is your gift. I am grateful to you. If we can learn, that is called yajna. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth, third chapter, and especially third chapter, what does it say? That your whole life should be, karma should be a form of yajna. Only then you won't be caught. But if you do not use it as a yajna, then what do you mean by yajna there? You don't take some fuel and then lit it and then offer something. You be grateful. Everything is a gift of God. That is the idea. This idea, Sri Ramakrishna, the whole life is nothing but a yajna. Who says? Swami Vivekananda says. Where does he say? Pranarpana jagatatarana krintana kalido. Pranarpana, you know, khandana bhavabandana? Pranarpana. Ramakrishna's whole life is an offering to him at the altar of humanity. Jagatatarana. Every breath he took is only for helping the world attain liberation. That's why he could hardly use the word I. Rarely he used to use I. He used to say, I don't know anything. My mother knows. Whatever is done, it is she who has done. And that's what Swami Vivekananda also in the end. He says, somebody says, Swamiji, you did so many things. He said, no, I did not do it. In fact, I didn't, even freedom, I would never have done that. That there was something whom Sri Ramakrishna used to call Kali, and ever since he offered me to her. Offered means Bali. And ever since the time she is sitting on my shoulders. Like Sindbad and yeah. that old man. So she will never allow me to do anything I want. And what she wants, that alone I have to do. This is Swami Vivekananda's ways of expressing that he had become, his whole life has become a yajna. And that is the meaning of, you know, Brahmarpana, Brahmavi, Brahmagna, Brahmanahuta, Brahmaiva Tena Gantavya, Brahma Karma Samadhi. Everything is God doing, God's Leela. So that is how we have to conduct our life. So these beautiful ideas are there to help us how we can evolve from tamas to rajas, rajas to tamas. We will discuss that and tomorrow we will continue. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chahano Ramartanam Devati Paramahantam Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. Okay, those who prepare food, you please go and we will sit here until they call us. And if you have anything to ask, you can ask me. Huh? Yeah.
Speaking of food, Maharaj.
Yeah. Yeah.
My question is if sattvic food or rajasic food is left over to the next day, does it become tamasic food the next day?
Supposed to be.
Supposed to be. Should leftovers be thrown away? We were wondering before. We all eat leftovers. And, you know, people. If you just throw away food, you're looked at as being very wasteful. For throwing, you should eat your leftovers and not be wasteful like that.
No, the idea is, if we have a way of preserving that food without degenerating into you know dry and uneatable, etc. Just because it is a leftover, we don't want to waste it, and we go on eating. Like Gandhiji used to say, that if there is, you know, too much of food, suppose it should not be wasted. So I put it into, instead of putting in the waste paper basket, I put it into this. Whatever turning my stomach into waste paper, who will suffer? So the idea is, common sense has to be used. So, it is, this question comes only on very rare occasions. Otherwise, we should be able, when we are preparing food, we have an idea how much food is needed. And fresh food, as you observe, has always a special health value. Have you noticed? Now, I will tell you something very interesting. When I came to UK, I was very much interested, you know, and I observed so many people. I wanted to have some idea about this counseling. So somebody, he had given me a book. In that book it is written, one of the ingredients of mental health is a person must have at least one hot fresh food a day. But for Indians, is every time it is fresh on. You know, morning, fresh, noon again. But now circumstances have changed. So previously, housewives used to be at home. That is, they used to cook. And also they did not have refrigerators and other things. So everything fresh. But nowadays, they also are having air-conditioned rooms and refrigerators. And they are also working. So they preserve. But definitely, it is something detrimental if the food is kept for a long time and if we go on using the same thing. Also, there is another idea, you know, when we take some food, it is already offered. And again, second time we have to offer it, if leftover is there. Like that, it is an idea. But common sense should be used. We should not waste things. That is another sin. But at the same time, suppose something is left over, preserve it nicely and offer it to God and eat it. Yeah.
It's a related question. Many Rajasic people switch to sattvic kind of food for health reasons.
Yeah.
Does it actually instill some sattvic qualities in that person?
No. Sattvika means it becomes conducive to physical health. Now, these foods also, we are here talking about as a spiritual discipline. This book is not about good diet guidance. This book is all about spiritual advancement. So, one must have that attitude, how can I reach God? And for that, what is the most helpful? But if a Rajasika person, purely for health reasons, switches to Sattvika food, in fact many people are doing that, they are also becoming vegetarians, because it is, less cancer inducing, etc. So that much good it will do. It will do good. It will also keep good health. But maybe long term it might have some slight effect in the sense, you know, and then while eating sattvika food, mind also can become a little bit sattvika, then good thoughts will come. But mainly it is helpful only in this sense. So what is the difference? All these things we do now for the sake of advancing in spiritual life. With that aim, never forgetting that aim, the way we worship, the way we pray to God, the way we eat food and do other actions, they have to be subsidiary to this goal. Otherwise what happens? I will give an example. If you do puja with a desire in mind, and if you really do puja, that is a wonderful karma, and that karma will have its effect, karma phala, you will get. Or you do dana. You are not doing it for spiritual progress. You are doing it for acquiring punya, merit. You will get merit. So you will get the karma phala. That is to say, your happiness in this world will increase. But if you want spiritual progress, then you should say, it is said, a sattvika person is a spiritual person. Is he not mad? A Rajasika person is also doing puja. How is he doing it? Desiring fruits. He is desiring fruit. He will get fruit. If he does karma, he will get fruit. That is guaranteed. But that is a worldly result he wants. If you have worldly desires, what do you become? Simple as that. Karma is a means. So what is your main motive? But it is a benefit, you know. Sattvika, good health. Is it not a benefit in itself? Yeah, it's a wonderful benefit. The only unhappy people will be doctors.
Where in scriptures the about vegetarianism is mentioned? Bhagavad Gita will not see whether it is food is vegetarian or not.
What are we talking about?
Sattvika.
Sattvika food is vegetarian or non-vegetarian? It is vegetarian. Yeah. Unless you misinterpret it. Like, you know, two tigers were talking. One was a vegetarian and it was looking down upon the other tiger. Because the other tiger happened to be a non-vegetarian. The other fellow was defending itself. He said, no, I am not a non-vegetarian. I am a pure vegetarian. Because I eat only vegetarians. So, you know, this is not a book on food, dietary guide. this has to be with so many aspects. So it has given us broadest guidelines that what type of food we should choose. So definitely through common sense we know any food that harms other beings, and then that is only goes to increase our rajasika nature. That type of food is rajasika food or tamasika food, is it not? So we can say God has provided so many vegetables.
Is it not until Ramanuja's arrival that the strict discrimination was imposed on?
No. This is a misnomer on our part. So these are all implicit in our scriptures from the very beginning. That is why from this Hinduism has divided people into how many categories? 4 categories. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. So what was the food that was prescribed for the Brahmins? Do you come across that they are supposed to eat non-vegetarian food? Yeah. But Kshatriyas are allowed to do that. And again, Vaishyas are not allowed to do that. Shudras are allowed to do that. Kshatriyas and Shudras are allowed to do that. Vaishyas, for some reason, they are not allowed to do that. So these restrictions, they are given for Dharma Shastras. Now you have to know the distinction. You know Dharma Shastras? You understand? Taking these teachings as guidelines into day-to-day practical life, this is where, like Manu Dharma Shastra, etc., they give us a detailed description what type of food is good or what type of food is not good, etc. This book is mainly a moksha shastra. Yeah. For details, you go to Dharma Shastra. But the best guidance is our own mind. Interesting question, you know. When somebody asked Brahmanandaji, is it not wrong to eat non-vegetarian food? Remember? What reply he gave? He said, nonsense. What will you eat? You eat potato? So you plant the potato in the ground. What happens? After 2 days, it will sprout. It is life. You take a rice grain, put it in the soil. What happens? The rice plant will come. And you want to drink water, take and examine with microscope, is filled with thousands of creatures. So, what is your yogurt? South Indians, they, you know, pride themselves that we are pure vegetarians. But they eat only pure vegetarians. Yogurt, you know. Yogurt is full of what? Bacteria. How many creatures? Millions, billions of creatures are there. You know, what Swami Brahmananda meant is that some people are accustomed to eat fish or meat. But that's not going to harm because they are eating fish or meat. It is not that every vegetarian is a pure spiritual person. It is not also that every non-vegetarian is a very cruel or bad person. It all depends what food you eat. You eat a little bit, offer it to God, eat it, and whatever, otherwise you architect area, you must eat only pure grass juice. What will happen? The whole race will become extinguished. Yeah. They have to eat necessarily seal or, you know, all those whales and the seals and fish and all those things. Yeah. The idea is whatever is conducive for health and for clarity of the mind, etc., that is good food. And that also has to be eaten in three different ways. First of all, it should be offered to God. And secondly, it should be eaten at the right time. Thirdly, it should be eaten only in appropriate quantities. Raja Maharaj again, he gave a beautiful direction. He said, how to deal with this question of food? He said, there are three rules. We observe three rules. First of all, food should be nutritious. Nutritious. Secondly, the food must be easily digestible. It may be nutritious, but if you can't digest it, it doesn't become nutritious, it becomes nuisance for everybody, for one eater and also for the others around. Thirdly, food should not create adverse reactions like drinks, etc. These are the three rules. Nutritious, easily digestible, and should not create any adverse reaction. If you observe these three, then your own mind will tell you what is how much to eat, etc.